Catholic priest and philosopher Thomas Berry grew up here in Greensboro, and there was a meadow here that he used to visit all the time. It became a kind of spiritual retreat for him. When he moved away and advanced in his studies, he often thought back to that place, and he tested his biggest decisions with a single question: will it help or hurt the meadow? At the heart of that question was a vision of the world as a living thing, and humans not as separate beings, but as vital organs in relationship with their environment. Thomas Berry spent his life writing and teaching about the importance of making peace with nature. He worried that our competitive, commodified economy and accelerated lifestyle had put us out of touch with our environment, and that we as humans were racing toward extinction. Berry's writings and teachings influenced many people, including our guest today. Ann Summers is Thomas Berry's niece and a lecturer in biology at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. Welcome to you, Ann. Good
Thank
to have you,
Frank.
Here.
I'm glad to be here.
And Valerie Vickers teaches science education at UNCG. She is also the winner of the Greensboro Public Library's 2011 Thomas Berry Award. Welcome to you.
Thank you so much.
Ann, tell us a little bit more about Thomas Berry, about who he was.
Well, Thomas was born here in Greensboro in 1914. His father had come from, his parents had come from Kentucky with the railroad, and they settled here in Greensboro, and his father started the company that's still here in town, Berry Co. Fuels, now run by my brother. But Thomas was not, well, he was one of 13 children, and he was sort of a brooder, and he was really not interested in joining the commercial world. And he was thinking and thinking about ways that he could spend his life contemplating. And he thought, well, he could either go into the priesthood or go to jail. He might be able to contemplate in either place. And he joined the priesthood and spent his education studying cultural history. And from then went on to study in to move to China for a while with his work, and started to look at the work of other great thinkers such as Teilhard de Chardin, Thomas Aquinas, etc.
Tell us a little bit more about that meadow.
The meadow was near his home on Colonial Avenue, and he well, he had a visit there. And he saw it white with lilies and the insects abuzz, and that stayed with him. And he only wrote about it in the early 1990s, where he said this became normative for him and that his thinking could be understood at a profound level if you compared everything, if you judged everything by how it would fit with the meadow. He said a good religion would investigate the mysteries of a meadow. A good education would teach about the meadow. A good jurisprudence would recognize the rights of the meadow. A good science would study the processes that allowed the meadow to exist in the community that it was.
Valerie Vickers, tell us how Thomas Berry's thoughts and writings influenced you and how you came to win this award.
Back in 1989, I first heard a lecture by Thomas Berry and then read his book, The Dream of the Earth. That opened a whole world for me. It was a new world view where everything that we do as humans, as humankind, is reflected in the universe, and we in turn reflect that universe. And if we begin to think about the responsibility we have as humans, that is just enormous. So his worldview of living within the context of the integral Earth community kind of helped me rethinking what I was doing in education. And so I began to move my work towards reconnecting children with nature, and doing that through a variety of experiences, from nature trails and gardening and just providing opportunities for them to be in nature, be it science, art, journaling. And these then were taken to different domains within the community and working with different groups and organizations.
You know, it's an interesting thing. Anne, you talked about Thomas Berry's influences, Thomas Aquinas and Desjardins. Thomas Aquinas, of course, who wrote about the marriage of faith and reason. Desjardins, who sees the world as a kind of living organism and as intelligence as part of the organism's urge toward oneness. These two thoughts would be married in a man of the cloth, who also understood ecology. There is a kind, because we know what an ecological movement is. Let's save the trees, let's preserve the air and water quality. As a material enterprise, there's a limit to that. What's the value, and I'll ask you this first, Valerie, of a kind of spiritual contemplation of this very material question? You know, how many trees do we save? How clean should our air be?
Thomas's thinking really challenges us to look at our local community, our planet, and our universe in a sacred way, in a spiritual way. He brings forth a kind of spiritual ecology. And when we do that, we look at everything with a new view of ethics. Is it ethical to keep making decisions which are destructive to the geobiological systems of the earth? And then you can bring it down to our own community. What are we doing with our solid waste? What are we doing with the local decisions? How about our local food supplies? Things like that. So the big picture that Thomas pushes us towards thinking, that's also a sacred and spiritual picture, is also something we can bring down to our own questions right here in our community.
A great aspect of Thomas's thinking that Val has really implemented in her work is this concept of the great self. So he sees the universe and the earth and the entirety of the great community of existence as the great self, and this is part of ourselves. So we have our small self, which is our individual self, and our great self, which is the entire universe. And he says where we find meaning and fulfillment is in the relationship of those two. And that's what Val does in her work. She introduces those children, their small selves, to their great selves.
What about you, Anne? As his niece, we know that Thomas traveled the world and he left Greensboro and came back later in life. Did you get to spend much time with him?
I did. I was lucky enough to spend every Sunday morning with him for many years. And we would go to the Oakcrest Cafe right off Battleground Avenue and sit for hours and had the most patient waitresses. And I would take notes and notes and notes and have many notebooks filled with Thomas Berry's ideas. And it was a wonderful, enriching experience for me. And I have implemented much of that into my own teaching.
Well, tell us about that. How does that work?
Well, understanding the universe as an entity and understanding the big picture. So Thomas zoomed out. Instead of focusing just on ourselves, zoom out and look at the big picture. How does it all fit together? And he had a vision that he had come to through many years, but he understood the importance of the story, the evolutionary story, and the human role in it all. So I incorporate that into my teaching of non-major biology students at UNCG, where we look at the universe story, the events that have occurred along the way.
How about you, Valerie? You talked about working with children, but you're teaching young adults at UNCG. Does it work its way into that curriculum as well?
Absolutely. Our young adults really love to work in gardens and work with problem solving for more sustainable solutions. And so it's great to include them in these bigger ideas and the bigger picture.
So what can we do now to promote and make Thomas Berry's ideas more well known?
I think think that reading his books is always wonderful, but I think we need to take the discussions into a broader realm. And there are many groups doing that, Center for Ecozoic Studies in Chapel Hill, Center for Education, Imagination, Natural World in Greensboro, and Kathleen Clay Edwards Family Library has a wonderful rotunda with Thomas Berry being featured.
And the Greensboro.
Environmental Stewardship Greensboro is promoting the great work study guide as well.
I want to thank both of you for being on the program today. Ann Summers, lecturer in biology at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro, and Thomas Berry's niece. Valerie Vickers teaches science education at UNCG and the winner of the Greensboro Public Library's 2011 Thomas Berry Award. Thank you so much. For more information, you can go about Thomas Berry. You can go to thomasberry.org. And we have with us today at the Upstage Cabaret here in Greensboro to play live. Mike Garrigan is here. His new CD is called The Return of Spring. He's going to have a big CD release party tonight in Greensboro. But right now, he's here to play for us live on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned. Hey, Mike.
Before static there was memory, before memory came rain, before rain there was the ocean, before the ocean there was pain, before pain there was the devil, before the devil there was God, before God there was static. It goes on and on and on, yeah. But I just want fall in love. After static there was reason, after reason then came noise, after noise there was a season, springtime for the boys, and the boys they found their ladies, and the ladies loved their men, and they all created static again and again, yeah. I just want to fall in love. I just want to fall in love. In my heart fills with treason as it rains on the parade. I hear reason after reason, but my life just fades away. I will walk around in circles, tread the earth till I am found. Eat the static with a smile, 'cause it never makes a sound, yeah. And I just wanna fall in love.